glad you're here. Let's stand and worship together. Worship the God who has done great things, continues to do great things in our lives. Let's sing. Come, let us worship.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh,
good morning, Prestonwood family. It's so excited to be in worship together this morning. This is Jasmine Ahmed. Jasmine, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based on your testimony of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Good job, Jasmine. God bless you.
Good morning, church family. How's everybody doing? My name is Scott Turner, and I want to welcome you to Prestonwood. I serve as associate pastor here. We're so excited to have all of you here with us on here live or online worshiping with us. Thank you so much for being here. You may have received your Presswood today as you walked in. If not, you can text GUIDE to 747-88, 747-88. And for our first-time guests, be it online or here at church, welcome to Prestonwood. You can either receive your gift out in Guest Central, or you can text GUEST to 747-88, and we want to have and give a special gift to you. Well, we're excited to continue the Essential Gospel series by our pastor out of the book of Romans. I hope your hearts and minds are ready to receive the word of God and continue to worship with us as we gather in God's house today. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've allowed us to gather together in your name. We glorify you, we honor you, and we worship you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word, Father God, that is everlasting. As you allow Dr. Graham to preach your word today, Father, may our hearts be open. May our ears be attentive. And Father, we thank you for moving in such a powerful way by way of the Holy Spirit of God. We love you. We honor you. And Lord, thank you that we as a church family can gather and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Promises and fulfillment all over my life. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your faithful giving is helping our ministries continue to reach the hurting with a message of hope. For your convenience, we have various safe and easy ways to give. You can text GIVE to 74788. Download the Prestonwood app on your mobile device and click GIVE. During the service, a giving link is provided in the chat below. visit prestonwood.org/give. Or mail a check to Contributions, Prestonwood Baptist Church, 6801 West Park Boulevard, Plano, Texas, 75093.
Choose to hide your face. You came to us a candle in the dark. You walked with us and shed our tears. You came to show us God is near. Compassion that reminds us who you are. You're the God who fights for us. You're the God who your love never lets me go. In the fiercest battle, you will go before. Though my foes are many, I will rise above. No weapon formed against me is stronger than your love. Sometimes all I'm
morning, everyone. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the essential gospel, which is the book of Romans. That song we just shared together, that's taken right out of Romans chapter 8. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love songs that are just full of Scripture and the great themes of Scripture that point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see you in the room this morning, in the house. Both our North Campus and our Plano Campus, and of course Espanol. You can be praying for Espanol, meeting at 2 o'clock here this afternoon in this room. Also at our second campus, Espanol, up in Richardson. And it's going to be a great time. And to all of you who watch and worship with us online, let me add my greeting to that of Scott Turner earlier. And so welcome. We're so glad that you're here. This week we did a fun thing. I asked Jack Raymond, who heads our online ministries, our online pastor, I said, put together a group of online participants from around the world and around the country that have been a part of our groups and our community and our worship services online for a while now. Put them together, and I'd like to have coffee with them. So we had a little coffee talk, and there we are. That's Jack on the left and on the screen. Love this kind of technology. We were visiting with people from the Netherlands, from Germany, from good old Arkadelphia, Arkansas, over in Arizona, and just all across the nation, around the world, literally, and through PowerPoint and our online services, we are reaching so many people with the gospel. And thank you for joining us. Many, as they were sharing their stories with me, their churches aren't open where they are. And so Prestonwood is their church home and church family right now. We encourage them all to find a local church, of course. But we're glad to be your church and to be a part of your lives at this season. And we hope it will be ongoing because you can watch online Prestonwood on demand. And that includes the Sunday worship service as well as our midweek service called The Connection. Dr. Jim Dennison and I are in a Bible study at the midweek service, Connection service, on the Beatitudes. Blessed. It is the blessed life is what we are calling it, and we would encourage you to be online with us for the midweek each week. So take your Bibles then to the fourth chapter of Romans, the essential gospel. And the title of this message is A Faith for the Ages. This week, the nation of Israel, modern Israel, celebrated its 73rd birthday. Israel, both past and present, is a miracle nation, established and sustained by God Himself. He gave them life, born of the seed of Abraham. He gave them land, a promised land that belongs to them, and He gave them a legacy of faith from generation to generation. So we celebrate with Israel, both modern Israel and ancient Israel. The father of this great nation is a man you know as Abram or Abraham. His name means the father of a multitude. And this man, this one man, from this one man came the entire nation of Israel. He is the patriarch. He is the progenitor of faith for all people. And the legacy of Abraham lives today. It's so important that we live our legacy today. I read an article was describing people over the age of 90, and they asked people over the age of 90 in this particular survey, what, looking back on your life, what would you change or what would you do differently? And generally speaking, they all said something like this. We would reflect more, we would risk more, take more chances, and we would do more things that would live on after we're gone. We should all live with eternity in mind and our focus on the present, meaning that we have something to do that God has given us today in order that we would leave behind a legacy of faith. I'm calling this message from Romans chapter 4, A Faith for the Ages. You might say that Abraham is the GOAT, the greatest of all times regarding people of faith. Three major religions celebrate Abraham: Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And it all began in the heart of God when God spoke to one man and gave him a destiny to become the father of the multitudes. He was a man living in a place known as Ur of the Chaldees. He was a pagan unbeliever, a Gentile. Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He existed before the Jews existed. So he was a pagan idol worshiper, worshiping the sun and the moon. And yet, by the call of God, he became the friend of God. He's called on multiple occasions in the scripture the friend of God. That's always moved me. When I was a young man and read the words of Jesus in John chapter 15, it says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." I was just taken with the whole idea that God, that Jesus could be my friend, that I could have a personal relationship with him. Abraham is called the friend of God because he walked with God and God built a relationship with him. He's also called the father of the faithful or the father of faith. So he is a towering giant. And for what reason? We're going to see today. A giant of the faith, because here was a man who chose to believe God. A man who chose by faith to follow God. So beginning in the first verse of Romans chapter 1, we're going to read the first 8 verses. "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh?" Remember, the Apostle Paul is teaching the great truth of salvation, justification by faith, how we are made right with God. And he's been telling us that this justification happens not by human effort or works, but by the decree, the declaration of God, who credits us with righteousness at the cross in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul now is illustrating this with a model man of faith. So what about Abraham? To a Jewish audience, now their ears are up, they're listening, because Abraham was the man, the goat. And so what about Abraham? Wasn't it his works? Wasn't it his great life, his good life, even his great faith that brought him to God? He said, so let's talk about Abraham, because the Apostle Paul is always putting feet and flesh to faith. That's why the Bible has so many biographies in it, stories and lessons from the lives of people, because I've said it many times, the Bible is not just a book to be learned, it is a book to be lived. So we have living examples, footsteps of faith throughout the scripture, and this is the man Abraham. So he says, all right, let's talk about Abraham. Verse 2, "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." That is, he may be a good man, a self-righteous man, but he cannot boast before a holy God, and neither can we. "For what does the scripture say?" Here it is, underscore this. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." There it is. Abraham believed God. We'll talk about what he believed in just a moment. Verse 4, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but his due." In other words, you do a job, you're paid to do a job, you work hard, you get your money from the man, and you it's not a gift, you work for it, you earned it. So it's a very simple, forthright illustration. He says, now you work, the wages are not counted as a gift, but what you are due. Verse 5, "And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." And then he moves from the patriarch to the monarch, the greatest monarch in Israel's history, and that's David. Just as David also speaks of the blessings of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. So this is David's testimony. It's the same testimony that Abraham's testimony was given. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not compute or count or credit his sin. The first three chapters of Romans, Paul is making the case for Christ and the gospel. And the conclusion is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are guilty because we have sinned before a holy God. That's verse 23 of chapter 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Christ is the only cure. We said it last week. Life is short, death is sure. Life is short, death is sure. And Christ is the cure. Jesus and Jesus only saves from sin. We all have a problem. It's a big problem. It's an infection known as sin. And sin infects every person in the human race. And it is a deadly infection. The infection of sin is greater than COVID. COVID's a bad infection, for sure. But it is not as bad as the infection of sin. You have a bigger problem than any disease, any COVID, any infection on earth. You have a bigger problem than that. And you can put on a mask and wear it everywhere. In fact, you can wear three masks and a shield and goggles. You can wear your mask everywhere you want to wear it. That's your right to do so. No judgment here. You can wear it in the shower. You can wear it when you're out exercising. You can wear it when you're driving alone in your car. Or you can wear it with Dr. Anthony Fauci riding in the passenger seat with you, telling you when you can put it on and when you can take it off. You can do all that. You can self-quarantine. In fact, you could go to the desert and separate yourself by thousands of miles. Or you can carry around a tape measure 6 feet long, and you can make sure that you're separated from everybody. You can do all of these things, but sin is still going to kill you. Those things may protect you from disease, but it cannot protect you from sin. You're still going to die. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how do we believe? What do we believe? What did Abraham believe? We learned the lessons of faith in the life of Abraham. Number one, we are saved by faith, not works. We are saved by faith, not works. And this is why Paul picked Abraham as the model of faith. Because Abraham was called and chosen by God in the sovereign purposes and will of God, not because of anything that he had done, but because God chose him. And God chose to give him righteousness when this man believed. He was justified according to the scripture. And remember that word, justified. It means that the slate is wiped clean, that we are not only acquitted of our sins, but we are credited to righteousness. Acquitted and credited. And that is why he not only uses Abraham as an example, in that we are credited with righteousness when we come to faith in Christ and believe in him, but we are also acquitted of all sin, because David, describing his own sin here, recorded in Psalm 32, his great sin with Bathsheba. And when he talks about how his sin is covered, it means that we have been forgiven. And the word forgiven here means left behind. So we are both acquitted of all of our sins that are left behind, past, present, and future. All of our sins are forgiven. And we are credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How does that transaction happen? It happens by faith. Abraham believed God. Are you listening? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The word believe there can actually be the word amin or amen. To believe God is to say amen to God's promise. God gave Abraham a promise that he would make him a father of many nations. He took him out one night for a walk while he was still living in Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan life, a pagan lifestyle. He took him out and he showed him all the stars and the universe. And he said, one day, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a nation, a multitude, greater than the stars. And Abraham said, amen. He believed it. He believed the promise of God. He believed this promise. What did he believe? The promise that God, through him, would birth a nation. And through the nation, a Messiah would come, a Savior would come, a deliverer would come to bring salvation and deliverance and justification, how we can be right with God. And so when Abraham believes God, he's doing something very simple and yet very vital, and that is to believe what God has said and to trust in the promises of God. Ultimately, Abraham looked beyond the years, and by faith, he saw the coming of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. Abraham, by faith, was able to look through the centuries and believe the promise of God that a Savior would come to make us righteous before God. Believing the promises of God. And that means we are then credited with righteousness. The word reckoned or credited is used 9 times in chapter 4 of Romans. And it's the word logizomai in the Greek language. You can hear the word logic in logizomai. It's a banking term. It's a bookkeeping term. Logizomai. That is credited. You could substitute the word computed, or a more theological term, imputed. Credited. It's really a basic idea of bookkeeping. You have a credit card, and you buy goods and services with that credit card throughout a month, and at the end of the month, you get the charges sent to you. And with the charges come, you know, the taxes and the fees and all the rest. And you have a credit and you pay the bill. And when you pay the bill, it's credited back to you that the account is zero. So the idea of logizomai, of credited or reckoned, when God says, when you believe, it is credited unto you. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the credit says that you owe nothing, that you are justified before God. As I said in the last message, justified means it never happened. But rather, you now have the righteousness of God. We stand in the righteousness of God. How does this happen? Because of the cross, because of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. And so what God does, he transfers our sin debt. Got it? Say amen. He transfers our sin debt. This is great theological truth that will save your life and your soul. God credits our sin to Jesus, who bore our sins on the cross, and Jesus credits his righteousness to us. And so it's impossible, therefore, for us to be saved by works other than the finished work of Christ on the cross. What Christ has done, not what we have done. Abraham believed God, the promise, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When we believe the promise of Jesus, the promise of salvation, we get credit for what Christ has done. We are now called the children of God because we have seen Christ and believe and trusted in him by faith. Now, what is this faith? What is faith? Well, faith is not a holy hunch or hoping against hope that something might happen. Faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not just believing things that down deep in your mind you think, well, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It's not wishful thinking or positive thinking or optimism. Faith is not religion or religious practice. Faith is not having proof or seeing, but it is believing. It is believing and trusting in Christ, not in works. Not in what we do. Ephesians 2 tells us verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Faith. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the case of Abraham, he went out believing and trusting in God into a land he had never known. We're going to talk more about Abraham next week in the message, just about this incredible old man who had a young faith, who kept believing God through the years. But Abraham, he believed, he followed, he trusted in spite of the circumstances or the consequences or the conditions or the contradictions. Even when he couldn't see it, even when he couldn't understand it. I mean, he was called Abraham, the father of nations, and yet up into his 90s, he had no children. Children of the promise. Look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 4. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted, there's that word again, as righteousness. When God computes or imputes or reckons or credits us with righteousness, it doesn't happen on the installment plan, a little bit at a time. It doesn't happen in process. It happens instantaneously when God declares you righteous in Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen when you work, but when you trust in his work, because he came and lived and died for the ungodly, he justifies the ungodly. You know why God justifies the ungodly? Because everybody's ungodly. You can't justify the godly. So he justifies, he makes right the godly. Hebrews 11, 1, we were talking about faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. So faith is not faith in faith. I'm not talking about faith in faith, just believing. But faith is only as valid as the object of faith. Faith is substance. Faith is real. And it's real because when we believe and trust in God through Jesus Christ, then that faith brings us to a relationship with God. Abraham left his old life behind. He left Ur of the Chaldees and the idolatry. He left his business. He left part of his family. He left his past. And by faith, he traveled on, believing the promises of God. He was accepting that he was to be a father of a great nation. when there was no sign or symbol that he was. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Jesus is the object of our faith. The cross is the reason for our faith. The resurrection is the power of our faith. We are not saved by works. Now let's amplify that with a second point, which is that we are saved or justified by the resurrection, not by rituals. We are saved by the resurrection, not by rituals. If you scan down to verse 24 of chapter 4, it says, "But for ours also it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who has delivered us up from our trespasses and raised for our justification." Our relationship with God is a resurrection. It's not ritual. So Paul leads a discussion here about religious rites and rituals, namely the Jewish rite of circumcision. Circumcision became the sign and the seal of Abraham's faith. But he wasn't saved because he was circumcised. In fact, this is going to get your attention. He was circumcised 15 years after he left Ur of the Chaldees, when he was at least 99 years of age or so. 15 years after he was called and believed in God. Now, I don't even go there or think about this poor old man getting circumcised at this age. But it was a sign, it was a seal. I shouldn't call great Abraham a poor old man, but he was circumcised after he believed. You see the point that Paul is making? He was saying it wasn't because he performed a religious exercise or rite or ritual that he was justified. His belief was long before his circumcision. It was long before the seal. The Bible often talks of being circumcised in the heart. The physical act of circumcision is an act of devotion to God and a symbol of the Jewish faith, but it is not salvation. Salvation comes from the heart, the circumcision of the heart, the changing of the heart, the cleansing of the heart. Now, we have signs and seals and symbols in the Christian faith. There are two primary ordinances. There is the Lord's table, communion, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, which is the sign, the symbol of the cross. You do show the Lord's death until he comes. And then we have the sign and the symbol of baptism, which is the testimony of the resurrection. We are buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And so these signs, these symbols, are representative of our genuine faith and trust in Christ. The Lord's table, baptism, does not save. Nor does it add to salvation. It is a celebration. It is a dedication. It is a symbol. And I say this today because many people have grown up thinking, even in their churches, that because somebody sprinkled a little water on their head when they were an infant, that they're good with God, that they're in the church. Or if you go to confessionals, or if you sit at the supper, or if you pray the rosary, name your ritual. So many people think today it is their church or their baptism that brings about their salvation. Every survey imaginable shows that at least half of the people who live in America, much less the world, believe that we are saved by some kind of good deed, some kind of work, some kind of human effort. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking, well, everybody knows that. No, not everybody knows that. Most people don't know that. Many of you don't know that. We had a lady who was here last week, a dear, sweet lady. She grew up in a church all of her life, and she said to one of our ministers after the service, I'd preached about justification. I'd preached about propitiation or atonement. I'd preached about redemption. Remember those three words? Nod your head. Please say yes. Redemption, propitiation, and justification. And she said, I've been in church my whole life, and I've never heard those three words. Because most people are in churches that don't preach the gospel. Preach a gospel of works, not a gospel of salvation. So it's not our confessionals. It's not infant baptism. It's not adult baptism that saves. It's not any kind of ritual. It's a resurrection. It's the power of Christ. Jesus said, I've come not for the righteous, but for those who need to be forgiven. We are saved not by any human or even holy rite or ritual. We are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. We are justified not by works, but by faith, believing the promises of God. We are saved not by rituals or religious observance or moralism, trying to live a good life, but we are saved or justified by the resurrection, by the power of Jesus Christ. There's one last thing I want to say from this text. We are justified by grace, not the law. Justified by grace, not the law. Not by keeping the commandments. Look in verse 14 of chapter 4. For it is the adherents of the law who are to be the, or if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. In other words, if you can be justified, say, by keeping the commandments of God, then it just makes grace and salvation, justification, faith, null and void. But notice what verse 15 says. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. Which means the law, the moral law of God, and even the Mosaic laws of the Old Testament, which point to Christ, but also they point to our sin, and therefore they bring wrath. The Ten Commandments, if we break even one of them, we're guilty of all, according to the Scripture. I was driving several years ago now, and a little chip, a little rock hit my windshield. You've probably had this happen to you. And the rock hits the windshield, and it's just a little fleck, it's just a little nick. So I don't pay much attention to it. The next day, after my car sat out in the heat a little while, the entire window was cracked and ruined. Just that one little chip wrecked the whole window, and I had to have it replaced. Get the idea? Just one sin ruins the entire life. You know, when you say you're a sinner, that means you're a sinner. It's like being, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't. And you can't be just a little bit a sinner. You are or you aren't. And the Bible says you are. And therefore, the law condemns us. The wrath of God, because we've broken the law, condemns us. The law cannot save because no one keeps the law perfectly. That's why we're saved by grace through faith. I heard about a man who wasn't feeling well. And he put it off like so many men do, going to the doctor. And finally things were getting worse. His problems were getting more. And after trying to ignore it, he got worse and worse. He was forced to go to the doctor. He didn't have a doctor, so he got a recommendation from someone who said, you need to go see Dr. Law. Because Dr. Law, he's very stern. He doesn't have much of a bedside manner. But he's great at diagnosis, and if you will go see Dr. Law, he will tell you what's wrong with you, and maybe he can help you. So the man had no other choice, so he gets an appointment with Dr. Law, and he goes to the examining room, and the doctor comes in, and sure enough, Dr. Law looks pretty stern, pretty rigid. He's older, and the man said, Dr. Law said, well, what can I do for you? He said, well, sir, I don't know what's wrong with me. I need you to tell me. He said, it's something to do with my hands. You know, my hands, I keep stealing things. I keep doing the wrong things with my hands. There's something wrong with my hands. They're getting old and stiff and tired. Dr. Law said, I see. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the problem's not with your hands. The problem is with your heart. And the man said, no, it's not my heart. I'm telling you, it's my hands. No, son, said Dr. Law, trust me, I see this kind of thing all the time. It's your heart. Well, Dr. Law, maybe you can help me then with this. There's another problem too, and it's my eyes. I think I must be going blind. And my eyes are looking at the wrong thing, no matter how shameful or how awful it is. My eyes keep looking at these things. There's something wrong with my eyes. Please, check my eyes. Tell me what's wrong with them. And Dr. Law, barely with a smile, said, son, it's not your eyes. There's really nothing wrong with your eyes. That's just a symptom. The problem is still your heart. No. My heart is fine. Now the man's beginning to get a little frustrated. He said, well, I guess you're going to tell me I don't have a problem then with my mouth. Because with my mouth, I'm mouthing off a lot. With my mouth, I'm saying a lot of bad things. A lot of bad stuff is coming out of my mouth. And I guess you're telling me my problem is not my feet, because my feet keep taking me to the wrong places, to the bad places, places that I shouldn't go. So I guess you're going to tell me it's my heart and not my feet. And Dr. Law said, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. It's not your mouth, it's not your eyes, it's not your hands, it's not your feet. Your problem is your heart. And I hate to tell you this, son, but it's fatal. It's going to kill you. What? Yes. You're going to die unless we can find some way to fix your problem. So the man is weeping at this point. He says, well, sir, I'll do anything to fix this problem. I don't want to die. Can you cure me, Dr. Law? He said, no, I don't. Dr. Law said, I don't cure people. I just diagnose. I just tell people what's wrong. Said, well, is there anybody who can help you? And Dr. Law said, well, there's a doctor right across the hall. His name is Dr. Grace. And I believe if you'll go see Dr. Grace, that he can help you. Man said, Dr. Grace, I've never heard of Dr. Grace. Said, is he any good? Dr. Law said, oh, he's very good. In fact, in the medical profession, he's known as the great physician. Well, is he very expensive? Does it cost a lot? No, said Dr. Law. To be honest with you, Dr. Grace has never charged a patient to this day. Wow, then he's got to be hard to get in. How can I get an appointment? Dr. Law said, no, Dr. Grace will see you anytime. Just go across the hall and knock on the door. And in fact, I believe he'll see you right now. And so he did it. He took the law's word for it. He went across the hall and he knocked on the door of Dr. Grace, and a man came to the door with a big, beaming, bright, and beautiful smile, kind, this man said, as he had ever seen. And Dr. Grace said, why have you come to see me? He said, well, Dr. Law told me I got a bad heart and I'm going to die, and that maybe you could help me. Dr. Grace said, come on in. I can help you. And the man stepped into Dr. Grace's office, and he said, well, is this going to be a very complicated procedure? He said, oh, yes, it's very complicated. But I assure you, I can cure you. I'm going to give you a heart transplant. A heart transplant? Yes, a heart transplant. Now he's thinking he wants a second opinion. Is there anybody else I can talk to? He said, no, there's no other way. There's no other opinion. I'm sorry, said Dr. Grace, but the only thing that will change you and cure you so that you can live is a heart transplant. The man said, is it expensive? How much is this going to cost me? Well, he said, it's not going to cost you anything. But Dr. Grace said, it cost me everything. He said, is it going to hurt? He said, it might hurt a little bit. You'll get over it. And you'll live again. Okay, doctor, when can we schedule a procedure? And at that moment, Dr. Grace, the man testified, reached into my chest and pulled out the nastiest, vilest, filthy, most putrid heart he had ever seen. And he threw it away and replaced it with a heart pure and clean and bright with fresh blood. And he said, immediately, I felt brand new. My heart was beating again. My life was full again. I had peace. I was alive. Alive with a new heart. That's what grace through the Lord Jesus Christ will do for you. The law can diagnose sin, but it can't cure it. The law can't remove sin. The law can reveal sin. And we need the law. We need both Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Because Dr. Law shows us our need of God, our need of Christ, our need of salvation. The law, all of it, I said both the Mosaic Law, all those religious rituals were pointing to Christ in the Old Testament, and the moral law, the Ten Commandments, these all point to the Lord Jesus Christ and point to us, our need of a Savior and salvation. So you need Dr. Law. That's the diagnosis. You're going to die. But thank God for Dr. Grace. Because Dr. Grace, if you will allow him, turn to him and trust him, will give you a brand new life. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing together. Heads are bowed. And would you pray with me? Some of you need to come to Dr. Grace today. The Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose again. He'll give you a brand new heart. What is faith? Here's faith. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. Put aside your good efforts, your works, the best you can do. Put aside religious rituals and things you've tried to make you feel better or to get right with the church and get right with God through grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive my sins. Change my heart. Give me a brand new heart, oh God. May I live for you in the power of your Spirit until you come for me. Say, Lord, I turn from my sin and I trust in you. I believe you. And receive you. Say amen to God's promise. And I'm going to ask you to do that by coming forward. And again, this doesn't happen over time. Too many people think, well, you know, this is a process. And I'm getting better. Or I'm getting along better with God these days. No, this isn't a process that you work out. Remember, this is God's declaration. And the moment you believe and receive Christ, instantaneously this transaction happens. You are no longer in debt. You're no longer facing death and judgment and hell, but it's credited to you the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That can happen to you this very moment. Online, 74788 is the number. Type in Jesus. We're standing by to follow up with you, to encourage you in your brand new faith. If you have questions about whether you know the Lord or not, contact us. Help us. There are people with questions. You just don't know. Right here in this room, you're not certain. You're not sure. I promise you, I wouldn't leave this room. I wouldn't walk outside. It's too dangerous. I wouldn't walk anywhere because I'm infected with sin without Jesus Christ. I wouldn't leave this room until I knew that I know Christ is my Savior. So I'm going to ask that you come forward and make that a public declaration. You're going to be saying, say, why would I do that? It's saying amen to believe God. I'm saying amen. I'm trusting and believing in God through Christ today. Come. Some of you need a church home. You need a church family. Lead the way today. Set the example. Ministers are up in the balcony. Ministers on the lower floor right here. This is the time. This is the day of salvation. You've heard the gospel. I've done the best I can to explain the core of the gospel of Christ. You've heard it today. Now it's your move. You can't miss this move. It's your move right now. So come and follow Christ.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.